Kids Zone this morning. And adults, we are welcome to take a seat. Abby will get her shoe on. Let's pray again. God, you invite us to be still and to know that you are God. You tell us that your words are alive and active. You tell us that you are a light, that you are a light unto our paths. So God, as we come into this time of listening actively, we invite you into our thoughts. We invite you into our journeys. And we invite you into this place that we call the Gathering Church, where we are working to be a sanctuary as we come to this gym that we call a sanctuary. Amen. So about 7 years ago, Terry and I encountered something new that was quite nerve-wracking. Our daughter Mallory brought her boyfriend home to dinner. And so now some of you have had this experience. Well, others of you, you're still waiting for this day. His name is Aaron, and Mallory spoke very, very highly of him. And we knew that he was becoming very important in her life. She warned her dad to behave and for me not to ask too many questions, but she trusted her brother Jordan to be very welcoming and kind. It's not like us to not welcome people to our table. We do that. And it's not that we don't like meeting Mallory's friends, because we do. But this was different. This was our first time making room at our table for someone who might just join our family. We typically don't ask each other as husband and wife, do you think we'll like him? But we were definitely asking this question to one another. We were also saying, should we be warm and welcoming, or should we be a little bit withdrawn? Also, not a question that we typically ask one another when someone is coming to our home to be a guest. But eventually these questions became, is Aaron coming for dinner? Would Aaron like to join us for a family weekend? What are Aaron's thoughts on this? Our family was expanding. We were making room for someone new. And our actions and our attitudes towards Aaron became just like those we share with each other as family. And as it turns out, Mallory and Aaron got married, and our family changed. And Aaron became our son or our son-in-law, and the four of us became five, and it has really been a beautiful thing. In the New Testament culture, the family was the center of everything. Family was essential. Shared space, shared meals. Vocation was often done as a family. Shared finances, shared friendships, multi-generational homes, connection, status was determined by your family. Decisions around marriage were made as a family. Family was a center. And Jesus set the church up as family. The church is family. This is how the New Testament talks and clearly repeats this. Jesus emphasized a deep spiritual, supportive, and committed relationship among believers that mirrors the bonds of biological families with God as the parent. Scripture regularly speaks about how the body of Christ, the church, it typically speaks about this church in familial terms. In Scripture, we find the following terms used to describe the relationships built in the church. Brothers and sisters, the fellowship, household, family of believers. 1 Corinthians 11:33, we hear the familiar terms used when Paul is speaking to the church. Paul says, so then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather together to eat, you should all eat together. In Ephesians 2, we read, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Here, household refers to family. In Acts 2, we read about the early days when the church was first being formed. It's the passage of scripture that I read earlier this morning. When you became a believer in the ways of Jesus, you were welcomed into a new family, which was called the fellowship. And scripture tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. In the original Greek, the term fellowship means joining together with deep commitment to travel in the same direction. The fellowship meant to join together with deep commitment to travel in the same direction. And within its meaning is being devoted to one another. Galatians 6:10 speaks to the high priority given to tending to and nurturing those in the church or those in our church. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. In designing the church as a family, as a community devoted to each other in love, Jesus is following God's design that we are better together. Theologian Alistair Roberts describes the church this way: the church should be a place where the alien and the stranger are welcomed and those who lack families. But for it to operate as a site of welcome, it needs to be a place where there is a deep familial communal structure. The church is God's vision for human communities. So what does it mean to you when I say church is a family? Did you wake up this morning thinking that you're going to spend the morning with your family? What is family as a church? In forming the church's family, Jesus was not lowering the importance of the biological family. He wasn't saying that to be in the family of God, that you had to forfeit your biological family. In becoming part of the church, what is happening is that we are welcomed into another family. God has set those who follow him within two families, and those families need each other. Alistair Roberts continues, "No human family is spiritually self-sufficient. Every Christian of every age, whether married or single, needs to belong to a wider family of faith, where spiritual brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, and mothers and fathers can share support, love, wisdom, and accountability in true Christian community." I love his words, "No human family is spiritually self-sufficient. God has invited us to be part of another family, a second family, a spiritual family, where we will receive love and commitment and learn God's ways together." The early church is an example to us today as they were devoted to one another. And like the journey of many biological families, mine included, the church struggled all through the New Testament. It was not perfect, as the church was and is made of people. Yet what made the family come together was actually how they lived through their differences. I appreciate how author and theologian Scott McKnight describes the church. He says, "The church is a fellowship of difference." The church is a fellowship of difference. I can tell you that we who joined together this morning at the Gathering Church are very, very different from one another. How we spend our money, raise our children, spice our foods, go on vacation, keep our homes, spend our time, what teams we cheer for, what shows we watch, what books we read, how we pray, who and what we listen to, what parts of Scripture are more dear to us than others, how we serve together and serve one another. Really, the list is endless. But when we join together as a church, we don't come seeking to know our differences. We come seeking to find our commonality in our desire to love and grow into the people of Jesus. When we join together as a church, as God's family, we seek to find our commonality. And this commonality comes in our love for one another, our care and concern for one another, and a desire to grow in faith and to serve as God calls us. I'll read another quote by Scott McKnight. He says, "The church God wants is brimming with differences, and that will mean the Christian life is all about loving whoever happens to be with you in this fellowship of differences." These are the same instructions given by Paul to the church in Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, we read of a division and a disagreement between those who are coming from very different backgrounds and different beliefs. And they were trying to come together as the church of God, as the family of God. And it is important to note that this group were divided and disagreed on almost everything. This was a tough group who wanted to be unified. And Paul says to them in Ephesians 2, consequently, and he's speaking to all those who were feeling divided and in disagreement, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, which we learned earlier means the church, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, the whole church, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to becoming a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Paul is reminding them that Jesus brought them together as a church. It is by God's design that they are no longer strangers, but they are members of God's household, which means family, which means church. The church has always been a fellowship of differences and different, called to form together in relationships of love, of devotion, of understanding, of unity in our diversity. Last year as a church, we entered into a discernment journey with Marg from Credence & Company. Some of you would have been here to participate. If you weren't, we're going to let you know some of the priorities that were discerned during our time together. Excuse me. So we came together in circles of conversation where we listened to one another, and we came together around tables where we had more time to discuss and then to share our thoughts and the ways we believe God was speaking to us. And one of the priorities that came out of that time of discernment was this: to grow our capacity for and create space for difficult conversations. We, as the gathering church, we as a family of God, decided together this was something that we wanted to create room for. And our concrete goals were to grow in our capacity and understanding of safety and love as a faith community, and continuing to create a welcoming and safe space at the gathering. And the rationale for this was that this, we believe, reflects how we want to deepen as a faith community, as a family of God called the gathering church. And the outcome, our hoped-for outcome, is we want to be a welcoming and safe community for all people. And so we also wanted to create learning opportunities for congregants to learn the tools of engaging in tough conversations, to grow in our welcome as a form of ministry, of care, an extension of love for one another, and the extension of God's love. One way that we are going to begin to jump into this priority is for the 3 Sundays following Thanksgiving, the board and the vision and care, in conversation and prayer with our staff team, we have invited 3 people to speak during our Sunday morning worship to speak about how God is inviting us to extend our welcome. We'll be talking about the formation of the early church, the tenets of our Anabaptist roots, things that seem unclear to us, things where we want to join in further conversation, and we're going to hear about people's personal journeys in understanding God's wide embrace. This is one way that we are bringing to life one of the priorities we discern together through our Credence and Company time of discernment. Another foundational reason that God has formed the church as a family is for us to be known, loved, and cared for. In Matthew 26, Jesus went to pray with his friends, knowing that he was facing death on the cross. He took his friends with him on this day of great anguish. Matthew 26 reads, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, his friends, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.'" Now, if you know the end of this story, the disciples happened to nod off. And that's not the invitation that Jesus had welcomed them into. But I want to look at this part of the story where Jesus, knowing that he was facing a time of anguish, where he was deeply grieved and deeply distressed, that he took his friends with him. Here, Jesus models to us the design of the church, that we are to be journeying deeply with one another, that we are to be present to one another by serving one another, by being devoted to one another. And this involves trusting one another. And this involves risking being vulnerable with one another. Choosing to be a member of the family of God offers us an incredible gift. And one of those gifts is being a part of a community who is there to strengthen you through the challenges of life and to rejoice with you in the goodness of life. But we can't do this without sharing life. So who are the people in the gathering that you have invited to journey with you on days of distress, on days of deep joy? Who will you walk those roads with? Where in your life are you paying attention to the people in your church family to say, "I will walk with you through this hard or through this time of celebration"? Church is a place where God dwells and is at work, and this means that God pours out into our relationships with one another. Last June, I had a challenging text from a family member. It really threw me, as it was deeply unexpected, and I didn't understand it at all. And I was shaken. I was really, really shaken. And I felt deeply alone. And I offered this quick prayer to God that went something like this: "God, would you provide someone that I can talk to about this?" I wasn't willing yet to pick up the phone and phone someone, but I was kind of asking God, would he work something on my behalf and send someone to me? And within 5 minutes, and I am very, very truthful about that timeline in this story, Doris, a sister of mine in this gathering church, sent me a text, and she said, "Hi, Catherine, how can I pray for you today?" Doris is a part of the gathering. She's part of my church family. She is part of the family of God, and God used her to offer his care and his concern for me. She became a beacon, a balm of love in a time that was quite distressing. How can I pray for you today or this week is really a beautiful gift that we can offer one another as God's church. And it invites us to be brave and vulnerable to say, "This is how I would invite you to pray for me this week." And maybe beyond inviting someone to pray for us, we might say, could prayers come in the form of having a coffee? Could your prayers come in the form of a conversation? Could your prayers come in a form of listening to God's word for me and sending that along to me when you hear something? It might actually be a practical ask. We're really weary in our home this week. Could you provide a meal for our family? Could you even take our kids for an evening? Could you offer me something that I don't have the privilege of being able to do this week? These are ways that we become the family of God far beyond meeting here for an hour to an hour and a half on Sunday mornings. I find great truth in this quote by Mother Teresa. She says, "If we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other." We really do live in a society where we think we value independence and individuality. We live in a society where we're often told, don't tell others about your problems. They have problems enough of their own. But this is not the way of God. God invites us to come to share, to belong to one another. And in that, it is a way that we find peace and we find strength enough for the journeys that we continue on. And this was represented in one of our priorities also discerned during our time with Credence and Company. Together, as the gathering church, as the family of God, one of our priorities was to honor our relationships by nurturing connections and support. This was very, very important to us as a congregation, as a family of God. And the rationale was to deepen friendships and care and support for one another, with the anticipated outcomes that we honor our relationships through connection. And by doing this, we strengthen our capacity to be present with each other and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We continue to invest in this priority often. It was so beautiful on our first Sunday back in September to see us gathered almost as a full gathering church, just longing for conversations, for laughter. We came to serve together, and we came to be reconnected after a summer where we're often separated by different forms of activities. So we come as a gathered church to deepen friendships and care and support for one another. And again, with this priority, it means that we must, as individuals, participate in this, to know what gifts we offer one towards another, to show up on a Sunday morning saying, how can I support and be engaged with and be devoted to these people that God has placed me in as my church family? Last week, four youth leaders spoke blessings over our four new to grade nine youth. And if you were here to experience those blessings, these were rich and deep blessings. I had asked the youth leaders to give maybe two or three sentences. Instead, they gave two or three paragraphs over each one of the youth. And this week, a number of you have told me just how meaningful those blessings were for you. And I believe it is because we so deeply value our youth as members of the gathering church, as members of this family of God. And so our youth meet together on Wednesday night. And through the blessings that were spoken over them, it was very, very evident that our youth are loved, that our youth are known, that they are encouraged, and that they are valued. And for our youth, this means that they have a place of belonging, of safety, of care and concern, that they have a spiritual family to journey with them all throughout their teen years. And as they form as a youth group, our hope is that they as individuals will know that they are welcomed and that they are seen and that their questions and that their journey is safe with those leaders and with us as a church family. We are creating in youth the vision, the image of God's church, as of the gathering church, as being God's family. Last week, I read a quote that I'm going to read again because I see it as being very powerful. It is by Frederick Buechner, and he says in his words this beautiful description of how God has designed the church to be. He says, I need you to help fill my emptiness, just as you need me to help fill yours. And again, this involves us participating deeply, of being vulnerable, of sharing our lives, and also of sharing our time and our love and our devotion one towards another. Let's pray together. God, it is a big ask that you call us to be family to one another. It is a big ask that you invite us to be devoted to one another, that you invite us to find unity in our diversity, that you invite us to have a wide embrace so that this family of God, this gathering church, will continue to be a space of welcome and love where others regularly join into this family. But God, even though it is a big ask, this is your design. And as we join together as your gathered church, I pray, God, that you would deepen our understanding and our commitment to being the church one towards another. God, that we would also be a people who are vulnerable. When the weight of life is heavy, when things are not going as we had hoped, or maybe we have gotten off track and want to confess and reorient towards God. God, thank you that we are a place that really does love celebrating with one another, where we share in each other's joys. God, would you remind us again and again and again in the coming weeks and months that it is by your design that we are your family here at the Gathering Church, and you invite our full participation so that we together may do your work, and also that we as individuals may be strengthened, encouraged, loved, and welcome. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Thanks, Debbie. Doris, could you put up the last slide for me? As part of the Gathering Church, when we come into membership, we follow a covenant or we sign a covenant. And I just wanted to remind us of what our covenant is to one another at the Gathering Church, that when we join as family, these are the things that we honor and seek to do for and with one another. So it says, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members, by refusing to gossip, by supporting the leadership. And I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth and health, by inviting the unchurched to attend, by warmly welcoming those who visit. And there are some other ones we also covenant to, but these are the ones to speak to how we, as a family of God, called the Gathering Church, covenant to act towards one another and with one another. And I appreciate that we commit to acting in love toward each other. I'll leave us with this benediction. I offer it as a prayer. God, draw your church together into one great company of disciples, together following in our Lord Jesus Christ, into every walk of life, sharing his love to one another, serving together with him, and together watching your love grow among us. God, we invite you to dwell and do your good work among us, the Gathering Church. Amen. You're welcome to stay for coffee. We have lots this morning, so please enjoy a cup of coffee and some special treats. And I'm available if you would like a time of prayer this morning. Go in God's peace.